You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Wednesday, October 26, 2022. Roller coaster, another wild ride for Western Canadian Select WTI differentials. Published by Housley Carr. Earlier this month, the price discount for Western Canadian Select, or WCS, versus WTI at Cushing blew out to more than $30 per barrel, 2.5 times what's typical, and a signal that something was seriously out of whack. Well, it turns out that several things were, and to some degree still are, off-kilter, combining to drive down the price of Western Canada's benchmark heavy oil blend to its lowest levels relative to WTI in 4 years. The culprits. Everything from renewed pipeline constraints to a deadly refinery fire in Ohio to the aftereffects of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, including releases from the U.S.'s Strategic Petroleum Reserve, or SPR. In today's RBN blog, we discuss the recent ups and downs in WCS pricing and the prospects for WCS-WTI differentials to return to a more normal range in the weeks to come. Hint: this rollercoaster ride ain't over. Even with Western Canada's extraordinary hydrocarbon reserves, it seems it's never a walk in the park for producers of conventional oil and bitumen there. As production in the Alberta oil sands in particular grew quickly through the 2010s, the pipelines that transport most of that supply south to U.S. markets filled up. That forced some midstream companies to apportion access to their pipelines and prompted many producers and shippers to turn to more expensive crude by rail as an alternative delivery method. Pipeline constraints and increased use of rail crush prices for WCS and other regional blends. By the fall of 2018, the spread between WCS at Hardisty and WTI prices had ballooned to more than $40 per barrel. In January 2019, Alberta's provincial government implemented a production cap to ease takeaway constraints and shrink the WCS-WTI price spread. The differential did return to earth, within a few bucks of $12 per barrel, and as it did, production curtailments were eased through the remainder of 2019 and into 2020. Of course, just as it seemed that things were normalizing, along came a once-in-a-century pandemic, sharply reducing demand for oil and spurring nearly 1 million barrels per day in production cuts in Western Canada as a whole, the vast majority of them occurring in Alberta. The only good news was that as production fell, pipeline constraints evaporated and crude by rail volumes dropped to their lowest level in years. The roller coaster for Western Canadian producers and shippers continued in 2021, oil production inched up and pipeline constraints returned, but only until early last fall, about a year ago when, at long last, Enbridge started flowing crude through its Line 3 replacement, or L3R, project. L3R, which had faced a series of regulatory and legal delays, added 370,000 barrels per day of much-needed pipeline capacity into the Midwest. However, as we said in We're Here for a Good Time, the price normalization that Western Canadian producers hoped for was short-lived. Only a few weeks after L3R came online, the WCS-WTI differential widened to more than $21 per barrel for a variety of reasons, including a run-up in Alberta production that spiked supply, a refinery outage and maintenance shutdowns in the Midwest that reduced demand, and a bulge in Alberta oil inventories. The events of October 2021 proved once again that while having sufficient available pipeline capacity helps to ensure that oil price differentials reflect the reality of transportation costs between key markets, many other factors can drive short-term swings in price spreads. For proof, look no further than what's been happening the past few months, which zooms in on WCS and WTI prices and differentials so far in 2022. The situation was satisfactory from a Western Canadian producer's perspective through the winter and most of the spring, with the differential staying within the normal $10 to $15 per barrel range. Then things started to unravel in late spring and early summer, when the spread widened to $20 per barrel or so and really came undone in late summer and early fall, when the differential spiked to more than $30 per barrel, a rare occurrence, before reverting to the mid-$20 mark in the past few days. We discussed the late spring-early summer differential widening in late August blog called Go to Extremes. There we said that rising Western Canadian production wasn't to blame, in fact, production was sliding a bit. Nor was pipeline takeaway capacity at fault. Apportionment on Enbridge's 2.9 million barrels per day mainline system was minimal, just a few percentage points, compared to the 50% plus apportionment that was common a year earlier, before the startup of L3R. Instead, we tied wider WCS-WTI differentials in May, June, and July to the unique situation in international crude oil markets, including the initiation of major releases, 1 million barrels per day, on average, from the US SPR. See, I want to break free and all I need to get by. That were designed to combat rising prices and provide a supply bridge for crude oil markets to hope for higher US and global crude oil production. See Road to Nowhere. We noted that a majority of the barrels released have been medium and sour in nature, similar to the barrels that compete with Canadian heavy sour barrels that reach the Gulf Coast by both rail and the newly reversed Capline pipeline. See part of the plan. Put simply, with the SPR releases, which will continue into December, Canadian barrels headed for the Gulf Coast have had to accept lower prices. There was another factor that had, and, as we'll get to, still has, a role in widening the WCS-WTI spread, namely the steeply discounted barrels of Russia's flagship Urals crude, another medium-sour competitor to WCS, being shipped to China, India, and other countries not participating in the Ukraine war-related sanctions against Russia. We took a hard look at the volumes of Canadian crude being re-exported from the Gulf Coast and found, 1. That most were being sent out of the Port Arthur Beaumont, Texas area, which had increased its capacity to receive Canadian barrels. 2. That the re-export of Canadian crude peaked in January 2022 at about 250,000 barrels per day, more than 2 times the 2021 average, just before Russia invaded Ukraine. And 3. That since then Canadian re-export volumes have trended downward, with most of the decline tied to the heavier crude grades, less than 25 degrees API, most susceptible to being replaced by discounted Russian oil. The re-export of Canadian crude to India has ended and re-exports to China have sagged. All of which brings us to the past few weeks. As we just said, the SPR releases and the discounted barrels of Urals crude continue to undercut Gulf Coast and overseas demand for WSE, helping the WCS-WTI differential remain wider than normal. But what caused the spread to spike to more than $30 per barrel? To cut to the chase, there were a few, mostly maintenance-related outages on pipelines from Western Canada to the US, and they had at least some effect. Also, it's become clearer that the dumping of Urals barrels will continue into 2023. We've even heard that the low levels on the Mississippi River could be a factor. A lot of refined products are barged down the river, and recent curtailments on barge traffic could be leading some Midwest refineries to cut back on production, and with that, their need for Western Canadian crude. But the game changer, as we see it, was the devastating September explosion and fire at the 160,000 barrels per day BP Cenovus Energy Refinery in Toledo, Ohio. Cenovus announced in early August that it had reached an agreement to acquire BP's 50% ownership interest in the refinery, but the deal has not closed yet. The event, which resulted in 2 fatalities and is now under investigation by the U.S. Chemical Safety and Hazard Investigation Board, caused extensive damage and is expected to keep the refinery offline well into next year. Midwest refinery demand is a big deal for Western Canadian producers. About 4 out of 5 barrels of Canadian crude exports are bound for refineries in the Midwest, or, looking at it another way, about 70% of the crude used by those refineries comes from Western Canada. Demand for those barrels fell, as expected. We should note, in late August and early September, as a number of refineries initiated scheduled seasonal turnarounds, when they shut down operations temporarily to perform inspections and maintenance and to make adjustments to allow for the production of winter blends of gasoline. But then, just as PADD 2's, or the Midwest, refinery utilization rate was returning to near 95%, from as low as 83% the week before Labor Day, the Toledo refinery fire knocked out 160,000 barrels per day of capacity and cut the PADD 2 utilization rate by a few percentage points. We should note that when the Toledo refinery is operating, it is a major user, Cenovus said in an August presentation on its deal with BP that 52% of the crude the refinery runs is heavy Western Canadian crude and another 18% is synthetic oil from Alberta's oil sands. That adds up to 70%, the same as the PADD 2 average, or about 112,000 barrels per day of Western Canadian oil, assuming the Toledo refinery is operating at full capacity. That may not sound like a lot, but as producers, shippers and refiners alike will attest, WCS-WTI differentials can often be affected by seemingly subtle shifts. It's also true that WCS-WTI differentials can be volatile. As we hinted earlier, in recent days the spread has narrowed from its $30 plus barrel highs to $26 per barrel this week, and the forward spread, from CME, suggests that the differential will shrink back to the mid-teens per barrels over the next few months. Whether the forward spread portends what actually happens is another matter, of course. Roller Coaster was written by Michael Carter and Cole Swindell. It appears as the 4th song on Luke Bryan's 4th studio album, Crash My Party. Released as a single in July 2014, it went to number 1 on the Billboard Country Airplay chart and number 43 on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles chart. It has been certified 2X Platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America, or RIAA. Luke Bryan's merchandise manager, Cole Swindell, and his guitarist and bandleader, Michael Carter, wrote the song about the Miracle Strip amusement park in Panama City, Florida, a place where they and Bryan had spent a lot of time in their youth. Personnel on the record were Luke Bryan on lead vocals, J.T. Korenflos and Kenny Greenberg on electric guitar, Ilya Toshinsky and Tom Bukovats on acoustic guitar, Mike Briniardello and Jimmy Lee Slows on bass, Mike Johnson and Russ Paul on steel guitar, Joe Spivey on fiddle, Shannon Forrest on drums, Mike Rojas and Charlie Judge on keyboards, and Perry Coleman, Tanya Hansaroff and Jennifer Wrinkle on backing vocals. Crash My Party was recorded in August 2013 at Capitol Studios in Nashville with Jeff Stevens producing. It was released the same month and went to number 1 on both the Billboard Top Country Albums and Billboard 200 Albums charts. It has been certified 4X Platinum by the RIAA. 6 singles were released from the LP. Luke Bryan. Thomas Luther Bryan is an American country music singer, songwriter, and television personality. He began his professional career by writing songs for Travis Tritt and Billy Currington before signing as an artist with Capitol Nashville in 2007. Bryan has released 7 studio albums, 6 compilation albums, 8 EPs, and 32 singles, 28 of which went to number 1 on the Billboard Country Music charts. He has won 5 ACM Awards, 6 American Music Awards, 5 CMA Awards, and 5 CMT Awards. From 2018 to the present, Bryan has served as a judge on the American Idol television talent show. He still records and tours and is currently on his Raised Up Right tour in the U.S. He starts a 2-week residency at the Theater at Resorts World Casino in Las Vegas in November 2022.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.